is Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com.
Welcome to Wealth Wake Up. Dick Donahue with you this Sunday morning here on KGMI. Want to wish everybody a happy Easter. A couple minor changes in our format today, primarily because of the holiday shortened week and some of the material that we normally use wasn't available to us when we did the recording. So anyway, we're going to start out with our weekly commentary today, and we're going to talk about welcome to state-run capitalism. You know, we've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. It seems that investors pay as close attention to what the government is doing as they do to actual business news. We don't think investors are wrong to do this, but it's only because the government has become so big. The U.S. has moved from simple Keynesian-type model to what we call state-run capitalism. When the economy turns soft, a typical Keynesian demand-side response would be to boost the budget deficit or print more money. But now the government is running permanent and very large deficits and using its budget to fund semiconductors, electric vehicles, solar and wind energy generation, as well as redistributing more money to immigrants and students who are in debt. This all smells and looks like central planning or state-run capitalism. At the same time, because the Fed is now using an abundant reserve monetary policy, it has taken the financial system out of the process of determining short-term interest rates. Banks no longer need to trade excess reserves, so the federal funds rate has no real market. The Fed makes that rate up. So here we are, sitting in 2024, a Wall Street Journal economics reporter, Greg Gipp, just wrote a piece titled, "The Economy is Great." We don't think that's really true, but real GDP did grow more than 3% last year, and job growth has been robust. But a typical Keynesian response to this, the one most people were taught in economics class, would be for the government to run a surplus, or at least substantially shrink the deficit, and the Fed to be at least slightly worried about overheating the economy. But instead, Congress has just pushed through a $1.2 trillion spending bill with a deficit that's going to approach $1.6 trillion. And the Fed announced that it was likely to cut rates three times in 2024. What the heck? Why? Especially with inflation reports so far in 2024 coming in hot. Well, the Cleveland Fed median price index is up 4.6% from 12 months ago. Supercore CPI is up 4.3% over 12 months and nearly 7% annualized over the past 3 months. With inflation this high, the economy this great, no traditional Keynesian would support these policies. But we don't blame investors for reading the tea leaves and realizing that all this stimulus is probably good for the markets in the short run. Lower rates mean more growth and higher price-earnings ratios. The market seemingly, and perhaps correctly, has decided that the Fed and the federal government can manage the economy to keep stocks up. But all this is going to come with a price. No centrally managed economy has been permanently made to go only one way. It can look good at the time, but eventually the sheer size of government and the mishandling of the monetary policy catches up. On a smaller scale, the U.S. tried this in the 1970s. The result was stagflation. Russia, Venezuela, and a host of other countries have all failed. But it doesn't happen overnight. More importantly, because the Fed has separated the growth of the money supply and the level of interest rates, rate cuts may not mean what many people think they do. Yes, rates may come down this year, but the money supply has contracted in the past year. A contraction in the money supply is never a good sign. We still expect a recession this year. The U.S. will have an irresponsible deficit that will be slightly less irresponsible than it was last year. If we added a decline of M2 and the morphine pumped into the system over the past few years is worn off, if the Fed is cutting rates because it is an election year, and if the government is spending money in an effort to entice some voters to see it as personally beneficial to vote for a big government, it's a recipe for lousy economic outcomes. When the government pushes money in directions that are potentially beneficial, and they are often not efficient in a true and economic sense, this means less growth and more inflation. We are very worried about the stagflation in the years ahead. But between now and whatever that is, the market may completely ignore it. And investors will think that the government has found a recipe for permanent prosperity. But after thousands of years in trying and never making it happen, we are going to bet against even this new version of state-run capitalism. Let's take a look at some of the economic reports we had this week. We had our February new home sales report come out, and not much to get excited about in the new home sales market, which took a breather in February following two consecutive gains. The good news is the worst of the headwinds for new home sales are in a rearview mirror. The main issue that the U.S. housing market has been affordability. So it's not surprising to see 30-year forced mortgage rates recently falling roughly 1 percentage point due to anticipation of Fed rate cuts in 2024 has helped sales activity over the last few months. That said, higher financing costs are still taking a bite out of a buyer's purchasing power. If you assume that 20% down payment, the rise in mortgage rates since the Federal Reserve began its current tightening cycle amounts to a 19% increase in monthly payments on a new 30-year mortgage for the median new home. The good news for potential buyers is the median sales price on new homes has fallen nearly 20% from its peak in 2022. However, it's important to note that this drop in median prices is likely due to the mix of homes on the market, including more lower-priced options, as developers are completing smaller properties. Supply has put more downward pressure on median prices for new homes than existing homes. The supply of completed single-family homes is up nearly 175% versus the bottom in 2022. This contrasts with the market for existing homes, which continues to struggle with an inventory problem, often due to the difficulty of convincing current homeowners to give up their low fixed-rate mortgages that they locked in during the pandemic. This does not mean that housing is getting more affordable per square foot, with the Census Bureau reporting median prices on basis are up 45% from 2019 to 22, the most recent data available. Though not a recipe for a significant rebound, more inventories give potential buyers a wider array of options will continue to put a floor under new home sales. One problem with assessing housing activity is the Federal Reserve held interest rates artificially low for more than a decade. And with rates now in a more normal range, the sticker shock on mortgage rates for potential buyers is very real. However, we've had strong housing markets with rates at current rate levels in the past. And as long as the job market remains strong, home buyers will eventually adjust. Let's also look at the February durable goods report that came out this week. And orders rebounded partially in February, gaining 1.4% after a steep drop in January. The largest gain came for orders of commercial aircraft, up 24.6% in February, while motor vehicles and parts rose a solid 1.4%. After factoring in downward revisions in January, orders rose a more modest 0.6%. But if you strip out typically volatile transportation sector and orders rose 0.5% in February, that would be up 0.6%, including revisions. That's more than offsetting the 0.3% drop in January. So looking at the details of the report shows rising orders across most major non-transportation categories, led by machinery up 1.9% and primary metals up 1.4%, which are partially offset by declining orders for computers and electronic products down 1.4%, as well as electrical equipment down 1.5%. The most important number in this release is core shipments. That's a key input for business investment in the calculation of GDP, and it declined 0.4% in February. If unchanged in March, these orders would be up 1.9% annualized rate in the first quarter versus the fourth quarter average. Shipments have been trending lower since the start of 22. We expect this trend to continue as the economy feels the lagged effect of the Federal Reserve's actions in tightening money policy. Consistent with other economic data, orders and shipments for durable goods have been very, very choppy of late, and we expect a number of factors are going to keep the path forward rocky as we move through 2024. monetary policy from the Federal Reserve, withdrawal symptoms following the COVID-era economic morphine that artificially boosted both consumer and business spending, and a return towards services that likely means goods-related activity will continue to soften in the year ahead. So even as some durables that facilitate services remain healthy, in other manufacturing news, the Richmond Fed Index, which is a measure of mid-Atlantic factory activity, fell 11.0 in March from minus 5 in February. Meanwhile, on the housing front, home prices were mixed in January, with the National Case-Shiller Index up 0.4%, and the FHFA Index ticked down 0.1%. In the last 12 months, these indices are up 6% and 6.3%, respectively. Dick Donahue with you with Wealth Wake Up here on KGMI. We'll be back shortly.
Hey, it's Les Schwab Tires. Right now, save up to $80 instantly, plus $50 with financing for a total of $130 off a set of four select tires. Our spring tire sale is a gift to say congrats, you made it through winter. Now you can swap out those winter tires for a fresher set at a lower price. Book an appointment online today. Les Schwab Tires, ranked number one by Forbes for customer service and auto repair and maintenance. Limited time offer while supplies last. Terms and conditions apply. See leschwab.com/sale for details.
Hi, I'm Tom Borthwick, the Diamond King. Does your wife have a big diamond, or is it that starter? How lovely would it be to show her how much she means to you again? Yes, you could surprise her again. Anniversary? Birthday? Just because? You did it once. Why don't you do it again? But with a big diamond. Big, big diamond. Go to Borthwick Jewelry for big diamonds. Discover and show passion and love again. See you in Borthwick Jewelry, exit 262 in the strip mall near the highway in the Grocery Outlet Plaza.
Hey, this is Deanna Haraluk with KGMI's all-new Pet Pulse. I'm a pet parent myself, and we all want the best for our critters, whether they're furry, feathered, hooved, or otherwise. The segment is brought to you by Whatcom Veterinary Hospital. Did you know that one in four pets suffer from obesity? Pet obesity can shorten your pet's lifespan by up to 2 years. Contact Whatcom Veterinary Hospital for a wellness exam today. And tune in to KGMI's Pet Pulse Wednesdays during the morning news at 6:20 and 7:50, and during the afternoon news at 5:20, right here on KGMI.
Get informed and inspired with Saturday Morning Live on KGMI. Join a group of knowledgeable hosts as they present a variety of guests and viewpoints on issues important to our area and to you and your family. Sponsored by Asset Advisors LLC, each Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on KGMI, News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up. Dick Donahue with you this Sunday morning here on KGMI. We're Asset Advisors. We are located out on the Pacific Highway. That's the old Highway 99 heading out to Ferndale on your right. Take the Slater Road, head north on the front road there. And we're in the Pacific Commerce Center next to Wilson's Furniture. Our address is 5060 Pacific Highway, Suite 101, Ferndale, 98248. Our phone number, 360-733-1200. And check out our website at wealthwakeup.com. I also still have Mariners tickets available for next Wednesday's daytime game at 12:40 in the afternoon. That's four tickets and a parking pass. So if you're interested, give us a call. Love to give them to you. Okay, going to continue on now with today's show. Again, a little different format than normal because of the Good Friday and the Easter holiday. Hope you're having a great Easter. I'm going to talk a little bit about how investors value professional guidance in times of uncertainty. And this was basically done as a result of the 8th Annual Advisor Authority Study that was done by Nationwide Retirement Institute, which is part of the Nationwide Insurance Group. And basically, they're saying that there's widespread anxiety and uncertainty about the future. And in this survey, they found that among non-retired investors, 19% of men and 37% of women believe entering a major downturn in the economy will significantly change their expectations for retirement. They further found out that 55% of men and 49% of women report feeling terrified about their long-term financial future. In addition to that, 43% of men and 38% of women are very nervous about spending down their nest egg in their current markets. They also found that with market volatility and recession fears, that it's changing investors' behaviors. Among those related findings, they found that 38% of women and 26% of men are rethinking about when they can retire because of inflation. Furthermore, 53% of women and 34% of men are checking their retirement account balances more than three times a week. And 35% of women and 26% of men are likely to take steps to adjust their retirement portfolios in the current market climate. They also found that more can be done to increase retirement preparation, and financial professionals such as ourselves can help. The percentage of retired and non-retired survey respondents who have strategies in place, first of all, for protecting the assets from market risk, 70% of men have strategies in place, 51% of women. For also protecting themselves from outliving their savings, 77% of men have strategies in place, and 62% of women. And for generating guaranteed income in retirement, 79% of men and 70% of women. So just some timely insights there that we're finding that people are concerned about what's going to happen, and especially what's going to happen in the political aspects in this country with all the deficit spending we've got and the political turmoil and all those nice things. And, you know, I talk about this quite a bit with clients and reviews, and we're talking about it. But when you sit down and you take a look at our federal deficit's over $34 trillion, the Federal Reserve has got $7, $8 trillion, maybe more on their balance sheet sitting there that they're trying to get rid of, but they're only able to get rid of maybe $80 to $100 billion a month. They're talking about maybe over the next year getting rid of $1 trillion. At that rate, it's going to take them 7 or 8 years, assuming they don't take on any additional debt that they carry on their balance sheet, just to get rid of the debt that they're carrying. So interest rates being where they are, you can't expect that interest rates are going to drop substantially. So that money's got to be eaten up somewhere, and it's going to take money out of other parts of the economy, whether it's our real estate or stock markets or what have you. So a lot of different things that you need to be concerned and aware of. And, you know, things that we sit down and we actually sit down and discuss with our clients in the process of meeting with them, because, you know, we're not going to try to just happy days are here again. It's based on sitting down and being honest with people and talking about what processes we can go through in order to help them reach and take themselves to the goals that they have. So anyway, I'm going to take a little different approach for part of the show today. I've made a point of this in the past, but I'm a charter member of the Ed Slot Elite Advisor Group. I'm going to be back in Indianapolis in May. And those of us that were the original charter members, it'll be our 20th year. We spend 2 days a year, twice a year, somewhere in this country doing nothing but talking about IRAs and what have you. So we get a lot of questions about different IRA planning things. And one of the questions we're getting about this time of year, because people are finding that they can't put money into a regular IRA because of their earnings limitation stuff, is the backdoor Roth. And of course, we hear this all the time. You know, your income is too high for a direct Roth contribution, but hey, go ahead and do a backdoor Roth. It's easy peasy. Well, you know, not so fast. A backdoor Roth transaction is like a muscle-bound hotel bellhop. It can carry a lot of baggage. However, before we can discuss that said baggage, let's talk a little bit about what is the backdoor Roth strategy. High-income earners, those that are over the Roth IRA income threshold of $230,000 to $240,000 for those that are married and filing jointly this year, and $146,000 to $161,000 for those single filers, they can make a non-deductible contribution to a traditional IRA and then they convert that traditional IRA to a Roth, what they're doing is they're circumventing the income limitations. And we can expel the notion that this step is a transaction, that a backdoor Roth is on the precipice of illegality. In 2018, a tax law specialist with the IRS, Tax Exempt and Government Entities Division, stated that backdoor Roth IRAs will not be challenged by the IRS. So it is considered a strategy that you can do. So even if you're over the limit, you make a contribution to a non-deductible IRA, and then you go ahead and do that backdoor Roth. So if you're doing this backdoor baggage, there are suitcases on the luggage cart. They can include some things here that you got to think about. Number one, the pro rata rule. No cherry picking. The pro rata rule dictates that when an IRA contains both non-deductible and other after-tax and deductible pre-tax funds, each dollar withdrawn or converted must contain a percentage of tax-free and taxable funds. This ratio is based on the percentage of after-tax dollars in all of a person's traditional IRAs, SEP and simple plans. You know, so you can't just target just the after-tax IRA dollars and only convert those. Additionally, once you have after-tax dollars basis in your IRA, getting it cleaned out could require some heavy lifting. For example, the entire account could be converted. The tax bill may be too high. So basically, the person that really should be looking at this is somebody that does not have a regular IRA. All of a sudden, they fund a non-deductible contribution and turn around and convert it. Now, there are some multiple tax forms that have to be done if you do it to backdoor Roth. There's three or four. When a non-deductible contribution is made to an IRA, the IRA owner must declare that there are after-tax dollars in the account. This is using Form 8606, and failure to file that 8606 could result in double taxation. So it's important that you file 8606s, and that if the dollars are leave a traditional IRA, when 1099 is converted the following year, so that Form 8606 will show that you have those after-tax funds in the account. You can also crossing tax years as consideration. When a person makes a prior year 2023 contribution, this year, 2024, well, they immediately converts it. They are required to file 8606. So if you haven't done this for 23 and you can still do it, file that 8606. The conversion will generate in 1099. Then there's also an offsetting 5498 that will be issued. And that 8606 that's filed will tell the IRS that, in fact, you have that pro rata money that you convert. Now, it takes four forms, but there is also some good tax software that can help. You need to be aware, until after-tax dollars are cleared out of a traditional IRA, it is the taxpayer's responsibility to track that basis. If a higher earner continues to make and convert non-deductible contributions each year, the annual baggage of a backdoor IRA can pile up and follow them to like an overloaded baggage cart with a wobbly wheel. But backdoor Roth, something we do quite a bit of, something we'll help you out with. You can always give us a call. We'll be right back.
We don't have the usual traffic jams that they have in the big city, but sometimes things happen to snarl everything up. Depend on KGMI to keep you cruising to your destination with KGMI Traffic Alerts. We'll tell you where the trouble spots are. And if you see problems on the road, give us a call at 360-676-5464 so we can spread the word. KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM, and KGMI.com.
The mysterious, the strange.
Incredible stories of patients who have had nurses and doctors visit them only to find out that those people never existed.
Coast to coast.
A physician who died of a cardiac arrest in the hospital. But one of the nurses was on vacation and came back a couple of weeks later, got onto the elevator, and there is the doctor that died.
Every night at 10 p.m. on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
Have you really sat down and taken a good look at how much you're paying for home and auto insurance? I'm Derek Barnes, and by now you might know that my wife Denise and I own D&D Insurance in Ferndale. Over the years, we've seen individuals paying $300, $400, and sometimes $500 a year too much for their home and auto insurance. If we're going to be good stewards of the money provided to us, I think it's prudent we review our insurance and financial needs. Likewise, we've been given families to take care of, And if something untimely were to happen to us, it's good to know that we can still provide families even when we're not around. Life insurance gives us that opportunity. Don't put it off for another day. Pick up the phone and start making some wise choices. Call the agents at D&D Insurance. They'll point you in the right direction. 392-8159 or visit us online at dndinsurance.com. We look forward to meeting you.
Stop by Dewey Griffin Subaru whenever your Subaru needs a quick service and a car wash. Check out Dewey's Express Service Center. It's fast, convenient, and best of all, there's no appointment necessary. Open 6 days a week, including Saturdays. Stop by for your next oil change or any other minor maintenance, and you'll get a free car wash with any service. Dewey Griffin Subaru, community-minded and community-driven, and the only certified Subaru tire and service center in Whatcom County.
When the ants go marching in, you need BioBug Pest Management, the latest pest control technology and long-term proactive solutions, lessening environmental impact while still providing you the protection you need. BioBug, service you trust, experience you expect. Locally owned and operated, serving Whatcom, Skagit, Island, and now North Snohomish County. Learn more at BioBug.com.
Hello, folks. This is Phil George. I'm an elder law and estate planning attorney here in Bellingham, and I would like to invite you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. right here on KGMI for the Aging Hour. If you have questions about Medicare, Medicaid, long-term care costs, probates, wills, trusts, or anything else that has to do with aging, this is the radio show for you. Studies show that more than 70% of estate plans fail when families need them the most. Join us every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m., and we can show you how to set your family up for success.
Whether you're exploring Linden, walking the trails at Whatcom Falls, or grabbing coffee between classes on Western's campus, free local news is now at your fingertips. Go directly to MyBellinghamNow.com or download the new My Bellingham Now app. MyBellinghamNow.com and the new My Bellingham Now app. Hyper-local community and county news. 100% free and no subscription ever. MyBellinghamNow.com or the new My Bellingham Now app. Available from the App Store or Google Play. Stay informed. Stay connected. Stay local. MyBellinghamNow.com.
Staying connected with your community each Saturday at noon with KGMI's Community Connection as local business leaders share their expert advice. Sponsored by
Lighthouse Mission Ministries, Dewey Griffin Subaru, Feller Heating and Air Conditioning, Contact Counseling, and Guided Solutions.
Community Connection, Saturdays at noon on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and streaming live at MyBellinghamNow.com. KGMI Connects with Joe Tian is about our community and you.
Everybody talks about the southern border. I live up here about 5 miles from the Canadian border.
Uh-huh. Join us each weekday at 4 p.m. for KGMI Connects.
I have picked up discarded clothing from people coming south. The Border Patrol's aware of this. I know of 7 gotaways.
On KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM, and MyBellinghamNow.com. The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at MyBellinghamNow.com.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up. Dick Donahue this Sunday morning. Again, happy Easter. I'm going to continue down the path I did in this last segment. I'm going to spend some time today talking about IRA planning and different things you might want to consider. Talked about backdoor Roth here in the last segment. Again, if you got questions, always give me a call, 360-733-1200. Let's also talk about giving a Roth IRA for a teenager. It can really have an astronomical result. You know, the mailman delivered, this came from a listener who called me, but it got me thinking about it. But anyway, the mailman had delivered his son's W-2, and he wanted to know, he was curious what he earned last year as a lifeguard at the community pool. He opened up the envelope, And the box ones and other compensation was $4,500. And he thought, well, not too bad for a teenager working a summer job, especially since he never spends a dime. But regardless of his frugality, the point of the W-2 interest, according to this listener, was to see how much he could contribute to a Roth IRA. He says he's light years away from the Roth IRA income phase-out level, so no concerns there. In 2023, the married and filed joint phase-out was $218,000 to $228,000 married and joint, $138,000 to $153,000 for single. For this year, it's $230,000 to $240,000, $146,000 to $161,000, respectively. So he thought, well, while the maximum Roth contribution amount for 2023 was $6,500, if you're over 23, it's actually $7,500, a person cannot contribute more than they earn. Almost said that wrong. So the most his son could contribute to a Roth IRA, the prior year contribution, is what is listed in box one on his W-2, $4,500. But what if he mowed lawns all summer and made $4,500 under the table? Well, unless he claimed those dollars as taxable income, they're not going to qualify. So as for the task of funding that Roth IRA, doesn't matter where the $4,500 comes from. It doesn't. The IRS doesn't care if his son's Roth IRA for him, or a grandparent funds his Roth, or if a rich neighbor gave him $4,500 for the contribution. The IRS is only concerned that his son cannot exceed what is reported in box one on his W-2. If a grandparent or a rich neighbor were to make a $4,500 contribution, no special tax reporting is necessary. Cash gifts, each up 2024 gift tax limit of $18,000, could be made to an infinite amount of people, related or not, with no special forms required. So to summarize, he had taxable compensation of $4,500 in 2023. His Roth contribution for that amount, coupled with his existing dollars sought, brought his total Roth balance to $10,000. So he added another $5,000, or $4,500. Well, now he's got $10,000. That Roth IRA is invested in quality mutual funds with a pretty aggressive tilt. But with a few clicks of a financial calculator, the powers of compounding, or what Albert Einstein called the eighth wonder of the world, are revealed. So what do we find? Now that he's got that $10,000, if that money grew at 6% a year for 40 years, it would be worth $102,857. Now, if it gained 2% more than that, grew at 8% a year for 40 years, it's worth $217,245. Think about that. 6%, $102,857, 8%, $217,245. That's over double the amount because of that extra 2% a year. Not an unrealistic number when you look at the fact that the S&P has averaged over 9% in the last 100 years. But what if he just contributed $5,000 each year for the next decade, and then he stopped contributing for the remaining 30 years? So if he had $10,000 now plus $5,000 for 10 years, if that grew at 6% after 40 years, he's got $481,373. Now, he had the same $10,000 now plus $5,000 more for the next 10 years. At 8%, after 40 years, he's got $946,111. That's almost $1 million. So if you have the means, a little can become a lot. And it's not about timing the market. It's about time in the market. If a teenager starts early, the long-term benefits can be astronomical. So if you're a parent, a grandparent, or that teenager making that money mowing the lawn, think about putting some of that money away in a Roth IRA and letting it grow tax-free. Might be really something to think about. Oh boy, well, hey, how do you report your 2023 Roth IRA contributions on your tax return? This answer may surprise you a little bit. If you made a Roth contribution for 23, and if you have not, you still can, up until the deadline for filing your tax return. But that's the regular prior year filing tax deadline, not including extensions. For 2023, that deadline is April 15th of this next month. So if you made a Roth contribution for 23 or still planning to make one, you may be wondering where to report Roth contributions on your federal income tax return. That answer is going to surprise you. Roth IRA contributions are not reported on your tax return. When you look at the 2023 Form 1040 and its instructions, as well as the other schedules and forms that go along with it, you will not find a place to report Roth contributions. You can find a place to report deductible contributions to a traditional IRA and a place to report non-deductible traditional IRA contributions. Conversions from 23 traditional IRAs to Roths, including backdoor Roth conversions, also need to be reported on the tax return, but there's no place to report a 2023 Roth IRA contribution. While you do not need to report your 23 Roth contributions on your return, it's important that you understand the IRA custodian is going to be reporting these contributions to IRS in 2000 for 23 on Form 5498. And you're going to get a copy of this form for your own information, but you do not need to file it with your federal income tax return. So even though you do not need to report your 23 Roth contributions on your tax returns, you still need to keep track of them. Your tax preparer or soft tax software is going to help you with this. Roth contribution information is important when you take distributions from your Roth IRA. Your Roth contributions are also available to you in both tax and penalty free. These funds are considered to be the first funds distributed from your Roth IRA. And once your contributions are all gone, then converted funds are distributed and then earnings. So if you take a distribution of converted funds from your Roth IRA, there may be penalties that apply. A distribution from a Roth earnings can be both taxable and subject to penalty if a Roth distribution is not qualified, i.e. it has to be after 5 years and it has to be after age 59 and a half. But by tracking your Roth IRA contributions, you can limit your Roth distributions to the amount of your tax year contributions, thereby ensure that they're always both tax and penalty free. Of course, the best move is to avoid taking any distributions at all from your Roth IRA until you reach retirement age. If you wait and you take your qualified distributions, then everything in your Roth IRA, including years of earnings, is going to be tax and penalty free. And that, after all, is the goal of saving in a Roth IRA in the first place. Going to answer another question that was asked of us here, just to kind of keep going down this IRA path. The question I had is, if the grandkids who inherited an IRA are under the age of majority, that'd be under normal age of majority in your state, when does the 10-year rule for emptying the account begin? At the death of the IRA owner, or when they reach the age of majority? And the answer for this is fairly simple. The minor grandchild inherits an IRA under the 10-year rule, i.e. year one, starts in the year after the year of death. So the first year that they have to take money is the year after the year of death of the IRA owner. Grandchildren cannot delay the start of that 10-year rule. The ability to take annual lifetime stretch required minimum distributions immediately, while also delaying the start of the 10-year rule under age 21, is only available to minor children of the IRA owner. So once again, I want to repeat, grandchildren do not have the option of delaying taking that money. But children under the age of 21 do have that ability to delay. It's a very distinct difference between the two. Important that you're aware of it, because I do have people asking that question quite often. And reality is, you have to take that money out if you're under the age of 21 as a grandchild, but not as a child. Dick Donahue with you with Wealth Wake Up here on KGMI. We're going to be back shortly.
Hey, it's Scott from Northwest Sleep Solutions in Fairhaven. Hey, you know, over the years, we've always said we have the best selection of mattresses in the area, and I believe we do, but I'm here today to talk a little bit about a new addition we're bringing in. About 10 years ago, we actually designed a bed for the wonderful Hotel Bellwether, great two-sided innerspring. People ask for those all the time, but we wanted to design something and see how well it held up. So 10 years later, they're still in great shape. We've updated a few things on them, and we are going to actually introduce them for the public. The nice thing is they will be about half the price of the two-sided all-latex beds that we carry, and something we will have on hand so we can still deliver for free in Whatcom County. And yes, we do still haul away your old bed for free. So come see us at Northwest Sleep Solutions on the corner of 10th and McKenzie in Fairhaven. Not the biggest, but the best. Northwest.
Sleep Solution. The solution for a good night's sleep.
As a local, I know how brutal summer heat can be. That's why I'm not waiting to get caught in the rush. I'm planning ahead with Feller Heating. They've got this amazing offer. Save up to $600 in instant rebates with a new American Standard heating and air conditioning system until May 31st. With up to $600 in savings, it's a no-brainer. Don't wait. Head over to fellerheating.com today. Secure your summer comfort and peace of mind with Feller Heating and Air.
See your independent dealer for complete program eligibility, dates, details, and restrictions.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. He sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself.
For many military veteran caregivers, their caregiving journey starts earlier in life and lasts longer. Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up. Dick Donahue with you this Sunday morning here on KGMI. Got questions for me? As always, you can give me a call, 360-733-1200. And as I mentioned earlier, I still have my four tickets and a parking pass for this next Wednesday's Mariners game. It's the final game of the opening series. They're playing Cleveland, and that game starts at 1:10 in the afternoon. If you'd like four tickets and a parking pass to the Mariners game, give me a call, 360-733-1200. We'll get back to you, get the tickets to you. Okay, going to continue talking about some IRA planning ideas today. I'm going to talk a little bit about how to avoid losing an inherited IRA and gaining a big tax bill. And there are some new rules that require withdrawals over 10 years, but there are some options. So I'm going to talk about a few tips how you can maximize your inheritance and avoid a big tax hit. So if you inherit an IRA from someone who's not your spouse, it's not uncommon, but maybe you inherited it from a sibling, a parent, or a friend. And if this is your situation, you need to proceed with caution, because non-spouse beneficiaries, a wrong move can result in disastrous consequences. So take your time and do it right. Your first step is to contact the IRA custodian to be sure that the account is properly titled as an inherited IRA. Next, you need to carefully explore your options. What if a non-spouse beneficiary's options when it comes to the inherited IRA? And in the wake of Secure Act 2.0, most non-spouse beneficiaries can no longer take advantage of the so-called stretch IRA. Only eligible designated beneficiaries, or EDBs, have this option. But non-spouse eligible designated beneficiaries, including disabled and chronically ill individuals, as well as minor children, the IRA owner and beneficiaries were not more than 10 years younger than the IRA owner. But non-spouse beneficiaries who are not eligible designated beneficiaries are not forced to take a lump sum distribution. Instead, most non-spouse beneficiaries are going to be able to spread those distributions from an inherited IRA over a 10-year period. Annual required minimum distributions, or RMDs, can be required during the 10-year period if the original IRA died or after their required beginning date. The IRS has waived these payments within the 10-year period for years 21, 22, and 23 due to confusion over these new rules. So when you inherit an IRA as a non-spouse, you need to proceed with extra caution. Touching nothing is good advice. Be aware of all your options and give serious thought to what you want before doing anything. A non-spouse beneficiary who takes a distribution without understanding the tax consequences has no remedy. A non-spouse beneficiary, unlike a spouse beneficiary, does not have the option of rolling over an unwanted distribution. A non-spouse beneficiary does not have the ability to move an inherited IRA to a new custodian. But the move must be done by a direct trustee-to-trustee transfer. So let's give you an example here. Ben died in 2023 at age 65. He named his two daughters as beneficiaries for his IRA. Daughter Gail consults with a financial advisor and sets up an inherited IRA. She does not take an immediate distribution from this IRA. There is no taxable event. Instead, Gail must empty the inherited IRA by December 31st of 2023. But Gail's advisor steps up a strategy for taking distributions from the inherited IRA over the next 10 years, taking into account the rest of Gail's expected income each year in order to maximize tax savings. Daughter Nicole does not consult with that expert, takes a lump sum distribution from inherited IRA. She is going to face immediate large tax bill reducing her inheritance. There is no remedy for Nicole if she has second thoughts. The distribution cannot be rolled over. Nicole has lost her inherited IRA and gained a big tax bill. So once again, if you inherit an IRA as a non-spouse or a non-designated beneficiary, I got to get the right term out here. If you're not an eligible designated beneficiary and you inherit an IRA, then you do not have the option of taking that money out in a lump sum, and you want to do it over that 10-year period of time, make sure you're working with an advisor that does it right. Okay, let's continue to go on down here talking about IRAs. We're going to talk about using your tax refund to fund an IRA. There's five easy steps. What does this process entail? Well, an income tax refund can be paid directly deposited into an IRA for up to that annual contribution limit. The contribution limit is $6,500 up to age 50 for 23. It was $7,500 for individuals over the age of 50. You can also split it among multiple accounts. So number one, it's tax time. You need to prepare your return for the year. Two, you determine that you have the refund amount that you have. Once you know how big your refund is going to be, you need to decide how much, if any, you'd like to contribute to your IRA or Roth IRA up to the maximum annual contribution allowed. Three. A refund going into one account could be done directly on IRS Form 1040. Prepare the IRS Form 888. 888 48s to direct the refund to go up to three accounts. But here you need to watch out. Number four, if you use Form 8888, you need to pay attention to the five cautions provided by the IRS on the instructions to ensure that you do not fall into any of those traps. The form can be found on IRS's website at www.irs.gov. You need to follow up. The IRA deposit is meant to be for the prior year. You need to make sure that the institution codes it that way and is received in time. If the refund amount is adjusted for math errors or tax adjustments, check which accounts on the form are affected. You may need to go to an amended return if the IRA deposit is adjusted. If your refund is offset, i.e. because you owe past due taxes, you need to also check which accounts are affected. Again, you may need to do an amended return. If funds go into the wrong account, you need to deal with the institution to get those funds credited to the correct account. Again, what we're talking about here is using a tax refund to go out there and fund an IRA where you can pay money directly from your tax refund into an IRA. So you say, gee, I don't have cash to fund it. You can use that refund to help fund that IRA. Okay, let's continue down here and answer a couple of questions that we get here. We get questions on a regular basis. Sometimes I get around to answering them, and sometimes I don't. You have a unique situation as follows. You have a son who's age 64. He's killed in a tragic automobile accident. The beneficiaries of his IRA are his parents, who are ages 92 and 90. Basically, they said, it was my understanding the parents will qualify as eligible designated beneficiaries. The decedent has three brothers whose ages are within 10 years. If the surviving brothers or siblings are named as the beneficiaries on the new inherited IRA by the parents, do they qualify as eligible designated beneficiaries? Or if they would inherit the beneficiary IRA from their parents in the future? Well, the answer to this is you're correct that mom and dad both qualify under the rules as what we call eligible designated beneficiaries under the not more than 10 year younger than the IRA owner category. Mom and dad can each set up their own inherited IRAs, and they'll have a couple of options regarding payout structure. Since the deceased son has not yet started taking the RMDs, he died before reaching his required beginning date, Eligible beneficiaries, mom and dad, can choose either lifetime stretch or RMD payments from that inherited IRA or the 10-year rule without annual RMDs. Based on their advanced ages, a full stretch would only be a net about 5 years. So this is an important decision. Regardless of what mom and dad choose, if they name the surviving siblings as beneficiaries of the inherited IRA, those siblings do not qualify as eligible designated beneficiaries. They will be what we know as successor beneficiaries. If mom and dad choose to take the IRAs, those siblings choose to take the lifetime stretch on their inherited IRAs, a successor beneficiary is going to receive a full 10-year payout. If mom and dad elect the 10-year rule, successor beneficiary can only continue whatever time remains on that 10-year picture. So again, it's really important for you to sit down and get the right advice if you inherit an IRA. And one more quick question. I have a traditional IRA with portion being non-deductible contributions. The last non-deductible contribution was made in 2009. I filed my form 10-8-8606 showing the basis. I want to convert a portion of my traditional IRA to a Roth. Can I convert all of the non-deductible amount plus some at before tax contributions to a Roth? I've never taken any distributions from my traditional IRA. I'm 52 years old. First of all, good job in tracking the basis. Many people do not file Form 8606. Some even end up paying taxes again on an IRA because they have already been taxed. But unfortunately, you cannot choose to convert just the after-tax portion of the IRA funds. Instead, there's a pro rata rule that applies to all of your IRAs. We talked about that a little earlier today. A portion of your IRA distribution that you're taking, including conversion, would include a percentage of those after-tax dollars. The remaining portion would be taxable. So you can see exactly how this formula works by taking a look at Form 8606. Okay, thanks for listening. Dick Donahue with you. Again, hope you're having a great Easter with your families. Got questions for us, give us a call, 360-733-1200. And don't forget our live shows on Saturdays at 11. Thanks, and have a great week.
Voiced on the show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.